All right, let's get to some of the news of the day with the Commanders. What does a guy have to do at this point, Danny, to get Marshawn Lattimore on the practice field? The 28-year-old corner not practicing again today. I've had a couple of people hit me up, and I'm sure you have as well. I'm at Grant H. Paulson. Danny's at Funny Danny on social. And they've said, when do we start claiming that he is on the Curtis Samuel stationary bike? Now, we are not there yet. We are probably a long ways from the Curtis Samuel stationary bike. But this is now almost to frustrating territory. If he doesn't practice tomorrow and they rule him out ahead of Sunday's game after the start of the week where Quinn basically made it seem like he was hopefully be practicing at the end of the week and that they were thinking he might be able to play this weekend, now we're starting to get into annoying territory. Still a massive win of a trade as far as I'm concerned because he's going to be here theoretically next year and the year after. You've added a corner one. You don't have to sign a guy in free agency. If you sign someone this offseason of his caliber, you would have spent more AAV than his current salary that you're bringing him in at against your cap. So even if he doesn't play this year, I still would have made the trade. I'm not suggesting that they made a mistake. What I am saying, though, is we all thought he was going to play pretty quickly after getting here, and this is continuing to linger now, and this hamstring is probably getting better behind the scenes, but as far as what we can see, the only judging we can do is, are you practicing or not? And he is not still able to go out there and put pads and a jersey on and run around.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not saying that Peters and company got sold a bill of goods or anything like that, but I'm frustrated. So I understood if you actually had a hamstring, not a Davante Adams hamstring, right, that gets cured by a plane flight in time zones. You actually had a hamstring issue. I understand the quick turnaround of not playing on a Sunday and then, you know, 96 hours later on a Thursday. I totally get that. Totally. It makes sense. But I think everybody thought, or a lot of us thought, okay, now you got that 10 days, basically Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all the way through. Let's work up and now let's get in that lineup. And he's still not playing. It's frustrating. So I'm frustrated. That's the end of it. I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at the team. There's no one I'm angry at. I am frustrated by this situation. I think there's a distinction there where a lot of times people say, what are you supposed to do? Or what's the team supposed to do? What they're doing, but I'm still frustrated. I would like to see the football player play football. I was very excited at the trade deadline. That excitement has dissipated because I sort of forgot that he was here because I haven't seen him. You know what I mean? That's all this is.
Well, let's call it what it is, too. They traded for him because they need his help. They traded for him because they're looking at corner room like you and I are, and they're going, man, tell you what, we could really use a good cornerback. And so you've got this reinforcement, right? He's coming in to help you. Think of it as they're in a fight, and they're trying to win the fight. And they're like, if we just had one more, you know what, let's go get Marshawn. He'll help us win the fight. And meanwhile, they're struggling to win football games these last couple of times out. And who knows what would have been different if he was on the field. Could you have made one more play? Would he have changed the game with a tip that led to a pick? Or could he have intercepted a pass? Who knows? But today he was working on the side field with Commanders strength coaches again. I think there's still a chance he could play Sunday. I'm basing that solely on what Dan Quinn said at the start of the week, though. If you subscribe to my normal theory, which is what coaches say doesn't matter, just follow the actions. Well, the actions right now are that he's still not practicing. And if you're not practicing on a Thursday, I don't know, a 60-plus percent clip normally, it's not a good sign that you're going to play come Sunday. But I also feel like this is one of those games where, man, would it be good to have him. Because CeeDee Lamb's a beast. The Cowboys don't have many guys on their roster, frankly, on either side of the ball, but certainly on offense, that I worry about. That is a dreadful offensive operation right now. With Dak Prescott hurt, they've got a backup caliber starting quarterback. They don't have a good running back. They have one wide receiver of note, and that's CeeDee Lamb, who is right now on his way to another 100 catches and probably, you know, 1,300 yards. Last year he led the league with 135 grabs and 1,750 yards when Prescott was healthy all season. He's only 25, by the way. That guy, three Pro Bowls, an All-Pro, and he's on his way to the Gold Jacket Hall of Fame career that they were dreaming about when they drafted him in the first round. But if you can stop CeeDee Lamb, there's not much else that you worry about with Dallas, and that's where if you had a shutdown, legitimate, viable corner one in a game like this, I think this is actually why you go get Lattimore, because you say, you worry about CeeDee Lamb, and these other 10 guys will worry about everything else. And if you don't have him, then you probably can't ask just St. Juice or just Sanristil, as good as he was against Philly, to handle C.D. Lamb. It's a committee that you now throw at that problem, which means fewer bodies in a numbers game to stop everybody else.
Precisely. And that's really to be what Lattimore was going to unlock, if and when he's available to play, and assuming he's able to sustain health. It was, okay, that takes one piece off the board. Like, I don't know how many avid chess players are listening. I don't know how much you've played GP in your life, but there are different strategies and different ways to beat your opponent. The best player for each team is the queen, can move anywhere at any time. Some people like, let me just take their most dangerous piece off the board regardless of what I have to do in order to try to win the game. Maybe it's a sacrifice my queen as long as I get theirs, and then I'll take my chances elsewhere. That, to me, is how this defense should be. In other words, their most dangerous guy, if I have to use my best asset to try to remove him from the equation, that's what I'm going to do. So it unlocks the ability, as you said, to play more heavy boxes, let Jeremy Chinn creep down, or Quan Martin at times, or roll coverages a certain way. Just opens up your toy chest if you're Joe Witten company, instead of saying, we cannot leave our corners on an island. We cannot at any time. We can't do that heavy blitz. We can't go cover zero that time, or we can't do this unexpected zone dog or this, that, and the other thing, because we are terrified that they pick it up and now someone's one-on-one with CeeDee Lamb. Sorry. I can't do that. So we're going to give up yards, and we're going to give up points. We're going to give up big passing totals. Number one receivers are going to have a way with us, or number one running backs are. It just depends on what we're trying to take away on that given player, that given series. He's going to open up options, in theory, when he comes back. It's just now, now I'm like hopeful for next week, but I'm not optimistic.
I mentioned this yesterday. So they traded for him November 5th, 5 days before the Steelers game, mm-hmm. 9 days before the Eagles game. And at that time, what I said was, okay, if he's not 100% with the hamstring, and it's not the Davante Adams fake hamstring, I went out of here situation, which we were also led to believe by some of the Saints reporters that maybe there was something to that, that maybe he wasn't as banged up as he was leading on because he was at odds with the team. Maybe he would just feel better when he got here, right? That obviously was not the case, and Lattimore is dealing with a pretty intense injury that he's been trying to come back from. But when they traded for him on November 5th, which was 16 days ago now, right away my point was, if he can't go against Pittsburgh, whatever. And it turned out that George Pickens had a pretty good game against them. But my point then, and I still feel like, was they don't have a bevy of receivers they're throwing at you. There's basically one decent guy at the position. You can find a way to beat them with or without him. And they led the game by 10 points in the second half before squandering it. All along, though, I was hopeful, fingers crossed, your game of the year, the Goody in Philly, the one you really need in the division with those two really good wideouts, that's the one you circle. I just wish... And I know why they're so private, and I think by and large, normally, it's a good thing, not a bad thing. But I just wish they were a little more transparent on some things like this, where you just – there wouldn't be any frustration if they came out and said, hey, he's probably not going to be available for a couple of weeks. We're hoping sometime in the next couple of weeks, maybe leading into that Dallas game, we can get him on the practice field and start having him work out.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And then at least you just set a expectation that is realistic. Rather than every fan who listens to this show and reads everything from every reporter who just goes to practice every day and we're doing the, nope, no Marshawn Lattimore, maybe tomorrow. Well, 3 weeks ago, there was no maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
We didn't know that. The
right.
Team knew that.
Yeah.
But if they just come out and say that, then you're not every day going to social media and looking at the coverage to say, was Lattimore practicing? Because he should be playing this week. And they could easily, I don't think they would have hurt themselves at all in terms of getting ready for Pittsburgh or Philly or the Steelers or Eagles, you know, operating differently because they're thinking Lattimore is going to play. They could have just said, hey, he's probably not going to be ready for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so a couple things on that. Number one, the if you don't know truly, if it is day-to-day and you're finding out shortly before we do, you know, your hands are kind of tied there. But to me, if it's significant enough where it's not even on the table that he would play that first week, right, and that's two games in 1 week, two games in 4 days, then, you know, leading up to next week, there's got to be some information that you would have post any kind of medical examination, right? Because remember, the trade was pending physicals. I mean, they worked him out. They gave him a physical. Not worked him out, but you know what I mean? They gave him a physical to figure out the extent of this thing still went ahead with the trade, which is fine. That, to me, was one of the hallmarks of the previous regime. I don't mean Dan Snyder. I'm talking about Ron Rivera and company, where they looked bumbling. Even if they weren't, they looked that way. When during the time that Ron Rivera is on the air with you and I, and Curtis Samuel isn't practicing and has been bothered by this thing for months and goes on IR, and I'm like, hey, what's going on, Curtis Samuel? He's fine day-to-day, really is. You just put him on IR! I don't know if you did or one of your buddies named Marty did, but you tell me he's fine, he's day-to-day, now he's on IR. What the bleep is going on? He didn't practice in March or April or OTAs in May or couldn't do this walkthrough, couldn't do this mini camp, and now we're here in training camp. Oh, he's day-to-day, really is, okay.
Hey, he could be back any day, and then we're like, actually, coach, it looks like just across the wire now, he's on the PUP list. He's out for at least 4 weeks.
Yeah, PUP. I misspoke. I said IR. Yeah, he was on PUP. And so you look bumbling. You look like you're inept. You look like you don't know. Your left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. Hell, the left index finger doesn't know what the middle finger's doing. You guys are clueless. And whether or not that was the case, that's the perception. That's not the case with this group. I'm not saying it is, but there's a lower trust factor that comes with that. Now, what are the repercussions of that? I don't know. Maybe some grousing from you and me and some fans. So, you know, you can play it out that way. But to me, this is one of those, I'm 100% with you, where you go, here's what we know at this point. We don't expect him. He's working his way back. We will give you an update when we have one. There's 24 hours or less of grousing, of irritation at that. Then you move on to the next thing. This way, it's a story until he's healthy. It's a story until he's out there. It's now, we're in week two of a story. And that I think that's avoidable. So it's something that I haven't quite figured out as to why NFL teams, and this one specifically, regardless of regime, has done.
And maybe they just don't care that much.
Entirely
They're
possible.
Going, whatever's being said outside of the building doesn't matter. Most teams say that they don't actually live that way. We don't know this group well enough yet, but maybe they really, truly don't. And that's fine, too. If that's the case. But I just think you can help yourself. I'm from the school of, you know, you get everyone on the same page in terms of fans, media, understanding what you're doing. That transparency is a good thing and not a bad thing.